Jeremiah 17, you know the verses. We're going to read 9 and 10. Well, actually, let's go back a little bit. Because I want to grab... let's see here. Probably 5. I was looking here. Verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Cursed or cursed. And maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Amen. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man, that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we again thank you for the day and for allowing us to be able to come. Thank you for bringing Brother Glenn and Miss Pam back safely to us, back home. Pray that you give them good rest tonight, knowing that they're weary in the driving and the traveling. Pray for Brother Chris and Miss Marquis tonight as they travel back, and use him tonight there at Pollard. And I pray that you'd watch over them, keep the wildlife out from in front of them there on their trip home as they're starting to move in this season. Asking, pray that you'll guide and direct in the message, and we'll thank you and praise you. We ask and pray these things in Christ's name. Amen and amen. So this morning, for Brother Glenn and Miss Pam's sake, I preached on presumptuous sins. And tonight, you know, I just got to thinking about it, and really a good follow-up, I think, is, and as far as a message title goes, again, like Brother Hall says, in title to a message is like a curl in a pig's tail. It's kind of cute, but it doesn't add any flavor to the pork. But the heart of the matter is the heart, is what I've titled my thoughts tonight. The heart is deceitful. We've said a whole lot about this in these last weeks, and again, in our preparation of our hearts for revival. And I just, like I said, just maybe the Lord will get me away from it a little bit, but I don't think He's going to, really, until after revival. I mean, I really, really, really believe God is going to do a work. I think He's starting to do a work in hearts and lives, and I've seen some fruit of that, and heard comments of that, and had discussions of that, both, you know, in my home and other places. And so I just thank the Lord for what He's doing. I don't understand it all, but I do thank the Lord for what He's doing, and I'm glad that He has allowed me to be a part of it. I'm looking for great things for Sooner Rose Baptist Church. I'm looking for great things, not that we can boast in ourselves, nothing that we can boast in. I want to really be cautious of that in my own heart and in my own life. And I want us as a church to be cautious of that as well. That, you know, if and when, let's just trust God for it, when God sends revival, when God does a work in our church, that He gets the glory, that He gets the honor, that He gets the praise that's due unto His name, and that we won't try to rob Him of any of that, that we give Him all that's due unto His holy name, and hopes to see in like, and here's the answer to your question, Brother Tim, when you was talking about, the answered prayer, how that we pray for our lost loved ones, and we want to see something done, and it seems it's not getting done in their lives, but then we pray for guidance or direction or something over Scripture or maybe some other, and it seems to come quickly. The reason that we are not seeing the loved ones necessarily come and the prayer answered about our loved ones necessarily come as quickly is because they have their own heart. They have their own will. They have their own, being, and it's a matter of God working in their lives, but it's a matter of them also allowing God to work in their lives, and then accepting God's work. And that's where the problem is. The heart of the matter is the heart. And so what we see here in Jeremiah's scripture here, being passage of scripture that says, you know, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And that goes back to a very similar, place where we was this morning. Because, you know, in the question, is the answer. As we read this morning, and I'll just turn over here and read it again, in Psalm 19, this is where we was at this morning, and the last verse. Verse number 12. Who can understand his errors? So again, in the same question is the answer, the who. You know, the heart is who can know it? And then he goes on in verse 10 and answers the question.
Right.
I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. And so we see judgment there, and it's amazing. It's amazing that I picked up this Bible, because I think we know which way we're going to go with this. Because he, and especially in light of the lesson that we already had tonight. But I try the reins even to give every man according to his doings. So that is, and according to the fruit of his doings. So he is going to deliver out, mete out judgment according to our doings. And that goes back to the message that I preached several weeks ago. In fact, it was the last service, and I often think about this, the last service that Kendra and Andrew was here was the service, and I know that they were listening, and I know that they listened attentively, but was the service when I preached on an appointment we all must keep. And I talked about the two judgments that we are going to stand in before God. Either we as saints of God at the judgment seat of Christ, or the sinners at the great white throne judgment. And that really burdens me. Of course, Lisa's had her on her heart, and I know Miss Pam's made contact, tried to make contact with her, and just let her know that we still love them, we still like to see them come, and so on and so forth. And it frightens me in a sense that was the last message that they heard in this church. And then they're out doing whatever they're going to do. And I you know, we keep asking, because Chris does see her down at Cain's, and we was asking about her yesterday, actually. And, you know, he said he talks, but he doesn't have conversation with her or whatever. And she's living with, I guess, one of the managers, and so on and so forth, as far as a place to stay, and this, that, and other. But, you know, I keep wanting to go back to, I know that they heard the gospel when they were sitting here at Sooner Rose. And so I know that the seed's been planted. I know the seed's been watered. And we just got to trust God that they will get to a place in their lives that God will give the increase, that they will get to a place that they know that what they've seen here in our lives and what they heard here is the right, is the truth, and that's where they need to be. But God's got to get them to that place. And you know, it really is frightening to me, but I know that their blood won't be on my hands because I delivered that message that night, but it is frightening, disheartening, whatever you want to, the terms you want to use there, to know that people hear and then they leave and then they presumptuously sin, like we talked about this morning, that I know what God says, but I'm going to do it anyway. And they have that willful sin. I am willfully going to keep on doing what I'm going to do regardless of what God says in His Word. And that is so sad. And because you know the end from the beginning, they know the end. God knows the end from the beginning, but God has given us a book and has allowed us to see into the future a little bit.
Amen.
We read the book of Revelation, we see that judgment, and I know which way God's got me going now tonight, But we see that judgment that we are going to face, either as sinners, and as saints, and I was preaching to the saints primarily this morning because it was a Psalm of David that he wrote that in Psalm 19. And he was concerned as a saint, if you will. He was concerned about his sin. The errors and the secret faults, and then he was concerned that he not presumptuously sin. He doesn't say, I know what God says, but I'm going to do this anyway. He was really careful, and we even pointed out in Deuteronomy how the strong judgment that came upon presumptuous sins, and so on and so forth. And so preaching to the saints of God, we really need to kind of consider that judgment that we will stand before one of these days. And then at the same time, of course, it's not that we are going to go into heaven or not. I know people take that passage of scripture about, you know, dividing, and he's talking about the nations there, dividing to the right and to the left, and there was and it's amazing how people misconstrue all that. And it's not our good works. It's, you know, when we get there, we're not going to say, you know, it's not going to be a set of scales where he puts our good works in one side and our bad works in the other, and which one weighs out the other. It's going to be what Brother Tim brought out tonight, what we've done with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has already paid for our sins. You know, and belief in Jesus Christ, and belief in the finished work of Christ, belief in His shed blood, and then, as I mentioned this morning, confession, acknowledging our sin before God, and in repentance, turning from our sin, and then acceptance of the sacrifice that's already been made for our sin, as He pointed out tonight, even before the foundations of the world. Amen. Praise God. That's what it's going to depend on to get us to heaven. But when we get to heaven, we are going to be judged, and it's going to be according to our works, and that judgment is going to be for our reward. And whether it's going to be our works are going to be burned up, and we're just going to be saved as by fire, the Bible tells us, or we're going to actually get some crowns, or we're going to get some, you know, maybe a different position in the ruling and the reigning of Jesus, with Christ here on this earth for 1,000 years. I often, people go to the mountains, and there's one little spot in the mountains in East Tennessee that, you know, it's just one of those spots. And I said, Lord, and there's a little independent Baptist church there too. I said, Lord, in the millennial reign, if you just let me pastor that church right here in Ware's Valley, I'd be a blessing, you know. just right there. I don't need to rule and reign a county. Just that church, that'd be a blessing, you know, right here in Ware's Valley. I just love that spot. I camped there a couple of times in the Boy Scouts, and there's this one view that you just got to go there and look at it yourself. Amen. But I don't know what position He's got for me in the millennial reign, but we will stand in judgment along those lines. But this heart is deceitful, you know, and he talks about that in our reading there about trusting in Him. And, you know, we see the obedience and the flood and the foundation, the solid foundation, and the house built upon the solid foundation about obeying the Word of God. And then there in the book of Matthew as well, you know, the little song, building your house upon the rock, building your house upon the sand. And that's about obedience to His Word. And it's a very similar passage here when he talks about cursed, you know, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. That's that weak foundation. That's that foundation that's not upon the rock. That's that foundation that's not upon His Word and obedience to His Word. Amen. That is trusting in your own flesh, and the arm of your flesh will fail you. You know, and we talked about that this morning in the Sunday school, in the men's Sunday school class. We as men have a tendency to think that we're bigger than what we are. Stronger than what we are. What we are is headstrong most of the time. And sometimes headstrong is a good thing. But especially when you got a headstrong woman. Amen. to be a little bit more headstrong than she is. You know, sometimes it can be a good thing. But lots of times it's a bad thing. And we can get so headstrong that we don't allow God to work in our lives. We want to do it our own selves. We think that we're our own. You know, I have worked my way up. I have gotten myself into this position. I put myself here because of a lot of sweat and hard work and labor and, you know, so on and so forth. But if it wasn't for God, then you wouldn't be in the place that you're at. Amen. And so that's the trusting in the Lord that it talks about there. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. You know, what is interesting to me, there in verse number 5, it says, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, in whose heart departeth from the Lord. And it doesn't use the word heart in the next passage. It uses the word hope, you know, and whose hope the Lord is. When I looked up the word heart as a definition in the Webster's 1828 dictionary, there's several definitions. I mean, this many definitions. But two definitions that stood out to me. The first is the seat of affections and passions. It's a seat. It's the innermost part of our affections and passions. That's love, joy, grief, enmity, courage, pleasures, etc. And then the next one is the seat of the will. So not only the passions and affections, but our will is the heart. And so the seat of the will, hence secret purposes, our intentions or designs. And it says so, and he gives the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 is the example there. So it's the seat of our affections and passions, and it is the seat of the will, of our will. And he says, our heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? And one of the things that I've done, and that's one reason that I got this Bible, is because in this passage, I've tried to be careful with a highlighter. I use a highlighter in my Bible, but I do try to be careful with a highlighter, certain kind of highlighters. There's one that somebody gave several of. I don't have one with me. Nope. It's kind of a wax type highlighter. It's not like most highlighters are, with the ink that bleeds through the pages. Other times I've highlighted in the Bible, I've taken a colored pencil because it doesn't bleed through the pages. So in the book of Proverbs, here in this Bible, I've taken a red colored pencil and I have highlighted the word heart in the whole book of Proverbs. And really, as I've seen, because it just popped out in my reading one time, and I got to thinking about the heart back some time ago, and I looked it up. There are 78 verses in the book of Proverbs that contains the word heart 81 times. In the Word of God, there are 765 verses that mentions the heart 833 times. And then in Jeremiah alone, there's 52 verses that mentions the heart 58 times. Much is to be said about the heart. Our affections and passions, such as love, joy, grief, enmity, courage, etc., and or the seat of our will. And there's both good things and bad things in the Word of God, especially in the book of Proverbs, that talks about our heart. For example, Proverbs 2, instructions to his son, the Proverbs being written by Solomon, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. That's one sentence there. And, you know, we're to seek after the wisdom in that way. And then we're to not only seek after it, but then to apply our hearts to the understanding. And then, of course, very familiar, chapter 3, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. And I quoted this and looked at this, read this the other day. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Amen. All right, with all thy affections and passions and love and joy. And trust in the Lord with all thy heart. The seat of the will. Our purposes, our intentions, our designs. To trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. And so there are some good things about the heart. We don't know our heart, you know, He knows our heart, He tries our reins, and He gives every man according to his ways, which, like I said, brings me to this. And like I said, Romans chapter 2, he was there while he was there. I happened to, you know, like I said, it wasn't no mistake that God had me pick up this Bible. Because in Romans chapter 2, we just read there that there in Jeremiah that he gives, how did it put it? I then turned away from it. I search the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Sounds like judgment to me, and reward, if you will. And so here in chapter 2, Brother Tim was in chapter 1, therefore, verse number 1, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgeth, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doeth the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same thing, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? There's a question mark there. You think this, and thinkest thou this, O man? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, and we just basically read the same similar stuff there in Jeremiah 17, about obeying the truth and not obeying the truth. Obeying the Word of God and not obeying the Word of God. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness in indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons. So, you know, there's those that don't disobey the truth. They are contentious, do not obey the truth, but they'll obey unrighteousness, indignation, wrath, tribulation, and anguish upon every soul that the man that doeth evil. But in this passage of Scripture, and I've got these highlighted as well, talk about the judgment of God. Verse number 2, the judgment of God is according to truth. You know, when you stand before God in judgment, whether it be the judgment seat of Christ or whether it be the great white throne judgment, when you stand before God in judgment, it is according to be the truth. And the Bible talks about the book was open and other books were open. And I believe one of those books is going to be this book right here. And when you stand there and you stand before God, and He's going to say on November the 3rd, 2019, at the Sooner Rose Baptist Church, you heard a message. And you were presented with the truth of the Word of God, but you left that night failing to obey the truth. You heard the truth. I presented you with the truth, but you didn't heed the truth. And you will be judged according to truth. Verse number 4. Let's see here. Well, not there. But verse number 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteousness of righteous judgment of God. God's judgment is righteous. It is according to truth, but it's righteous. You are not going to stand and put your finger in God's faith and say, you are wrong, God. That's not fair, God. No. Because His judgment is righteous judgment. It's according to truth and it's righteous. You can't say nothing against Him when He passes judgment. Nothing. You will have to say, yes, Lord. You're right. I'm guilty, Lord. Regardless of which judgment seat that you stand before, you will have to acknowledge that He's right. There's often times, especially when teenagers get into those teenage years, mom and daddy don't know nothing. You're wrong, Dad. And then when they turn about 25, 26, 27, Dad, I was wrong and you were right way back when. They had to learn the hard way. My 30-year-old, he's come around, thank the Lord. I was talking with him this afternoon. A little bit, he got off of work and thinking, and you know, wishing him happy birthday and stuff. We was talking, and I said something about, you know, it's surprising that he made it this far. And he said, that's what me and his brother Andrew, so he goes, well, that's what me and Andrew were saying. Because we got into some stuff. Some of that stuff I mentioned that I still probably don't know half the stuff they got into. Maybe it'll come out, maybe it won't. But, you know, a couple motorcycle wrecks and some other things, you don't know how he made it this far. But he's made it this far. But Andrew was one of those going into the Coast Guard. He went into the Coast Guard at 17 years old. He agreed that it was a little too soon. Later confessed, I should have waited a little bit longer, but you know, he knew best. just like the old adage, you know, I'm tired of listening to what mom and daddy say, I'm going to go join the Marines. <You know? laughs> Daddy tells me to get up and go to the field, get out and do some work, go mow the yard. You know, I'm tired of listening to what he says, but the Marines are going to tell him to get up a lot earlier than what Daddy might have said. Amen. And do some things. Amen. And I wrote this down. I think it's in here. I pastored, tried to pastor a Marine, former Marine, down in Mississippi, and we was talking about it one day, and he said, you know, in Marine boot training, they don't call it basic training like Air Force does, which is what I was in, but USMC boot training, they teach the instant, willful obedience to all commands. You know, and I got to thinking about that. Ain't that the way we supposed to be to God? Instant. If all the church members, if I was that way, when God says jump, you don't ask why. What's going on, God? You just instantly jump. Instant, willful, and obedient. Instant, willful obedience to all commands. God help us there. Amen. But anyway, but Andrew was the type that he would listen to people. He would attach himself to somebody that was already ahead in whatever that was. And he would learn. He would just, like a sponge, just soak in anything that person was willing to teach him. Joshua was one that, oh, buddy, he was not going to listen to nobody. And he was just going to have to do it himself, to learn it himself, and he actually said and bragged in his early 20s, I just need to, you know, I've got to go to the school of hard knocks. I don't, you know, I've got to learn it myself. And he actually, but through his 20s, now that he's 30, through his mid-20s, he had some really hard knocks. And now he's a little bit more humble about things than he was in his early 20s. Just save your breath. He was just going to have to learn it himself. He was just that way, where Andrew was just like, teach me. You know, it's a whole lot better. Brother Gary Griffith, a pastor in, a former pastor in, Mm-hmm. He's a preacher, but in Louisville, Kentucky, black preacher. He was the youngest of three boys. I actually seen a picture of him and his brothers at their parents' 65th or whatever wedding anniversary. But he would say, he goes, I had two older brothers. And he goes, I would see the trouble that they would get into. And I would see, you know, what got them into that trouble. And I would not, I would purposely learn from their mistakes. He goes, I was wise about that. I wasn't going to go through the same heartache and trouble and trials that they did. But too many times, we just want to depend in the flesh. We want to do that, and we just have to learn the hard way instead of just the way. But that righteous judgment, we're not going to stand before God and say, you're wrong.
Amen.
We have to say, yes, Lord, you're right. So His judgment is according to truth. His judgment is righteous judgment. Verse number 12, for as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. So we're going to be judged by the truth. It's going to be a righteous judgment. And it is going to be judged by the law.
Amen.
You know, and then like Brother Tim, it's amazing. Brother Tim was pointing out tonight. Basically just that God, you know, in His law showed him what he was. And if you know, and that's what he uses. He is a schoolmaster to point us to Christ. It's our schoolmaster to show us that we are unrighteous. And that we need a Savior. We don't know that we're a sinner unless we don't know that we've broken the law unless the law is pointed out to us. Like, again, that goes back to a message about that ball hitch down in Moore, Oklahoma. Amen. And that trailer hitch. I didn't know that it was illegal to drive with a trailer hitch on your truck in Moore, Oklahoma without a trailer attached to it. But it is on the books down there. One of them obscure laws. But now we're all guilty when we walk, or we drive through Moore, because now we know what the law is. We're not ignorant. It points out our sin, and we'll be judged according to the law. Finally, there in verse number 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Secrets of men according to His gospel. So it's the law and the gospel. Again, and the truth, all found right here in this book. That's how we're going to be judged. And going back to our thought originally about the heart being deceitful above all things, I couldn't help but to think about this scripture here, Matthew chapter 22. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? We're going to be judged by the law. Jesus said in the end, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. So there are bad things said about our heart, our seat of affections, our seat of the will in the Word of God. And then there's some good things. Now, but lots of times, you know, I've heard the statement that says, well, if I know my heart, you know, I'm going to do this way. I'm going to follow. Oh, I love this one. We're talking about young people. I'm just going to follow my heart. Don't do that.
Amen.
Follow wisdom. Like Proverbs tells us, seek after wisdom with your heart and understanding. Seek after it like silver and gold, a great rich treasure. That's how we need to seek after what we need to seek after, not these other things in the world. I think of young people like Marshall and Jesse coming up and one thing another, and just, you know, you're at this stage of your life that you've got, you know, a whole lot ahead of you. And more I've got a whole lot more behind me and then ahead of me. And each birthday I think about that. And days like today when I realize my son is 30 and I'm thinking, I should be 30. That was just yesterday. You know, I thought, but it's been a few years back that I was 30. 22 years ago I was 30. That's messed up. And lots have happened in 22 years. And so I just, just don't understand that. But so we're to seek the Lord thy God with, or the, I'm sorry, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. We are to, like I said, good things have been said about the heart, but we need to be careful about following our heart. We need to seek wisdom and seek understanding. Going back to the young people, I appreciate the younger people coming in. I appreciate Marshall, appreciate Jesse and some of the other young people that's been here. And try to be the influence I can be. I know Tim tries to influence the people that work under him and others. And you know, when I've had the opportunity as a supervisor, I tried to, if they would listen, because I had a lot of people that was like my oldest son, and I had a lot of people come through under my supervision in the job place that was like my second son, that if I pointed out something, they were just like a sponge. And I'm not talking about just the job thing. I'm talking about life things. There's some people messed up, young, single moms, and they get to talking about their relationships, and I'm like, I don't need to hear that. I don't need to know that. But you know, I hear it, and I learned it, and I'm like, I didn't need to know that. One of the curses of social media, you know, they fuss about what people are talking about them, but they're the ones that put it out there in the first place. You know, don't hang your dirty underwear out there and expect people not to talk about it. Just keep it in, put it in the wash and wash it. And then put it in your drawer so nobody sees it. It's amazing. But people's like that. And then, of course, Psalm 139:23-24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. We sang that in the song of invitation this morning. And see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. It's a reoccurring message, I know. And it seems like I keep building and keep pulling from other messages and things I've just said. But you're like, when are we going to go on? I guess when we get it. Teacher, what? We've been on this subject for... for a long time. When are we going to go to another subject? When you pass the test. Amen. When you pass the quizzes of this subject that we've been on a long time. We all understand that. We all understand that. And like I said, preparing our hearts. A heart is the heart of the matter. Amen. You know, we talked about the presumption of sin. He in Psalm 19 is saying, you know, he is asking the Lord to keep back the servant from presumptuous sins. He's asking the Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in the sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. He's asking the Lord to search him. He's asking the Lord to try him. In our preparation for revival, that's what we need to be doing, is asking the Lord to show us our hearts. That could be an ugly thing, but it could be a good thing. We're to love the Lord with all our heart. We're to strive to put that, I mean, if we can love the Lord with all our heart, we can love our neighbor as ourselves, which we've done discussed as well in messages past, then that's the first and the second law. All the law hangs on those two commandments. And it goes with the heart and what we ought to be doing. Again, getting back up to where we just are supposed to be as a normal Christian. In our walk with Him. God help us. Well, that's the thoughts this morning, this evening. It's kind of scattered, but hallelujah. Amen. All right, let's have a song of invitation to the Lord.